Where do you want to live after you've retired, especially long after you've retired? I know folk anywhere between their 30s and 80s giving this some creative thought right now. Many of them have visited family or friends in nursing homes and wondered if there might be alternative options for when they're in that situation that they could set up, maybe with friends. A lot of people have that fantasy but find it hard to realise or never really get around to planning it until perhaps it's too late. Retirement villages have been another option, with options for independent living and then a kind of more hands-on care situation as you need it. How and where do you want to live later in life? That's the question I want to ask this morning, and I want to open the phone lines on this one. Are you or someone you know grappling with these questions personally? Perhaps you're keen to hang on at home for as long as you possibly can, even when the going gets tough. Are there ways to make that work? Have you discovered them? What about going to live with your relatives? Would they welcome that idea? Would you? Anglo-Australians don't tend to do that so much, but many cultures do. Call us 1300 22 55 76, or 1300 call RN. You can get on our website and comment there. You can get on our Facebook page. You can get on our Twitter at RN Life Matters. And if you are in South Australia, you need to call right now. If you're in WA, Northern Territory and Queensland, please head to our listener line 02 833 1430. So that number again, 1300 22 55 76. And our text message is 0418 226 576, 0418 226 576. Love to hear from you this morning on this one. Now, a report published last week by the Australian Institute of Health and Welfare showed that 90% of older Australians, 90%, said they wished to remain living in their current home rather than, say, downsizing or moving into aged care. And joining me now is Jeff Nidek. He's Head of Housing, Homelessness and Drugs at the Australian Institute of Health and Welfare. Welcome, Jeff.
Good morning, Natasha.
That's a broad brief that you've got.
Yes, we're interested to look at older Australians' intentions, particularly where they were coming from in terms of their current housing circumstances. So looking at whether they had they owned their home outright, or whether they had a mortgage, or whether they were renting, and to see if that impacted on their intentions for moving out, perhaps into aged care or other arrangements later in life.
Yes, and it did indeed. So paint that picture for us. And I was actually possibly surprised, and because I think this is going to change, by the high percentage, the majority who owned their home outright in this age group, so the above 65s.
Yes, we're certainly aware that the majority of older Australians wish to age in place, as we say, that is, remain in their current accommodation. Mm. And as you mentioned earlier, about 90% do. However, we did find variations across the different housing groups that we looked at. So almost three quarters of older Australians own their own home, and this group intended to move less. And actually did move less than others, and had a very strong desire to stay where they were, and often had the means to be able to afford to do so.
Mm, that's right. So just to focus on those who do own their own home, what were the reasons they gave? It sounds obvious, but actually it wasn't necessarily about emotional attachment, was it?
Well, no, that didn't come through quite as strongly as we would have thought. Issues of location, comfort in their current arrangements, and the fact that their current situation suited them financially were the most important. But then emotional attachment was quite strong amongst this group as well.
Now, what about renters and those who live in social housing? So those who rent privately or those who live in social housing? Because the picture was a bit different there in terms of desires, but also what they expect. Expected to have to do in the coming years.
Yes, those two groups that we looked at did have quite a different picture, particularly compared to the outright owners. So those in private rental were least satisfied with their current housing arrangements, and this was the group that intended or showed the greatest intentions to move in the next 5 years, and they did move more frequently. So I think it indicated The fact that they didn't have that longer-term security and they needed to look at other options.
Yeah. I mean, some people did feel, or they reported that they had felt forced to leave their home, or they might be forced to leave their home. What were the reasons they gave? Was health a major reason there?
Well, this when we look at the social housing group, that's the group in public and community housing, this was the area where it was that reason of moving because of health reasons was strongest. And this, I think, reflected the fact that this group tended to have the least financial options. They did have, by and large, security of their tenure where they were at the moment. And it wasn't until health reasons really forced a decision for them to move out. So when we looked at the range of ages of people moving out of public housing, it was really after the age of 75 that we saw a big increase in moving out of that housing arrangement.
Yes, indeed. Well, I'd like to bring into the conversation now Yoliska Lips. She's building, coming up with an alternative plan here, building a small village in Ralston in New South Wales as effectively an alternative option for living as she gets older. Welcome to the show, Yoliska.
Oh, hello, Natasha.
Now, the thought of going into aged care accommodation was not an appealing option for you. Why not?
Well, I live out on acreage, and a whole bunch of us who do so were sitting in a coffee shop one day and sort of saying, well, what are we going to do when managing a large number of acres gets too much? And the thought of going into a retirement home and living cheek by jowl with others was very unappealing. And we're all fairly conservation-minded. We all, you know, collect our own rainwater, deal with our own waste, do all that sort of stuff anyway, as you do when you live out in the country. And we just came up with this idea of, well, wouldn't it be good to be right on the edge of the village so we still have access to the facilities there, and Ralston also has a good little hospital, but sort of still be in the bush a bit. And that's how we came up with the idea of creating an eco-village, so that, you know, we could still live sustainably, but we're closer to facilities. We've got a group of like-minded people around us, and that's how we're progressing the idea, but it's taking a bit of time.
Is it? Yeah, I mean, many people have this fantasy. I know lots of people who do, even in their 30s, you know, about this health option, especially after they go to visit a relative in a nursing home and think, oh, God, I want to think about this. But what has made you push beyond the fantasy?
Well, I don't know. I suppose there was just critical mass. In the end, we sent out, you know, messages around, had a meeting where I think maybe 12 or 14 people turned up. But in the end, it came down to five who just decided it was a practical idea and now is the time to push ahead with it.
Yes,
while
indeed.
We were still fairly compassmentous and all the rest. And, you know, and because we also were interested in that whole concept of ecological sustainable living. So it became, and because we're all people who really believe in that ideal, on top of that, it's an area that is growing a little bit, and we thought, what a great opportunity to put some of those principles into practice and kind of become a demonstration village, if you like.
Well, it sounds like a good plan to me, but what physically will it look like? What are going to be the logistics here? And I also wonder, I mean, you know, many in a retirement village or nursing home scenario, people can get access to physical and medical care if they need it. Are you going to accommodate those sorts of needs?
Well, what it's going to look like, and I have to stress that we're just about to put our DA in, so it's not a fait accompli yet, so just do need to say that. But the concept is, we've managed to locate a lovely piece of bush right on the edge of the village so that each person would have maybe an acre. And because it's still natural bush, if you leave it alone, there's no maintenance required. So it's a case of just putting a house in, maybe a tiny little courtyard garden if you're so inclined. And those houses will be dotted around. So you're not cheek by jowl, you know, you can't hear your neighbour's music, that sort of thing. The plan is to have a community building, a place where we can meet, have lectures, have yoga classes. The idea also is to have a couple of bedrooms with a bathroom so that, again, people don't feel they need to build a large house. because when they've got friends come to stay, and let's face it, how often do we have friends staying, you know, a week, a year or something? Why have the extra bedroom in your own house when there's one just round the corner that you can use? And as we say, the bottom boundary of the block is only a kilometre from the post office. So that's what we also envisage. We're close enough to the village that, you know, the community services, that as you get older and you need those sort of services, it's possible for them to come out and help you, whereas when you're living 50, 60k out of town, it's a different story.
It's harder. And what's this, just briefly, about a gopher track?
A gopher track, yes. So we're sort of planning the gopher track. So if we get to that stage, you can get on your little electric, hopefully electric-powered gopher and just pop down into the village and have a coffee, buy the paper, see some people, attend whatever is happening in the village without having to actually drive.
Love it, love it. Look, we've got lots of calls, as I anticipated. Let me take some of those. Just letting you know that Jeff Nidek is my guest. He's head of housing, homelessness and drugs at the Australian Institute of Health and Welfare. They've just released a report on the question of people, whether people want to stay at home as they age. And Yaliska Lips is joining me as well. She is part of a group setting up an alternative to aged care, a local community housing arrangement in Rolleston in New South Wales. Kylie in New South Wales, hello there.
Oh, good morning.
Hello, what have you got in mind here?
Well, I loved that lady who's spoken before. She sounds to be well along the path to doing what I'd like to do. I work in aged care, and one of the things, a lot of people think you end up in, everyone ends up in a nursing home, and it's great to have those stats broadcast, that really it is only about 8% of people who do end up in care. Mm. But working in a hospital as I do and in aged care, I notice so many people have to be crowbarred out of their home and it all becomes very distressing. Mm. So one of the things that I always, to me there are two issues with aged care. One is planning ahead so that you've got actually something to look forward to and not be so distressed about being dragged from the family home. And the other thing is isolation, because, you know, as an Anglo society, we don't have that, you know, the care for the elderly that the other cultures do tend to exhibit.
Yes.
So the idea of a bunch of like-minded people getting together, and we've got a bunch, and we're just in the very early stages of looking for land to build our own private sort of setup. And we'd like to go eco as well. But it also plays into the housing crisis. I mean, you've got all these great big houses with one dear little pensioner sitting in one room, unable to heat and maintain that property, but they will not be moved. So I think it could sort of end up being a government incentive thing. And, you know, I'm at the tail end of the baby boomers. All the resources will be sucked up by the early baby boomers. And I think we're going to have to look after ourselves, those of us born in the...
Kylie, thank you very much. So you're part of the way there by the sounds. Thanks for the call.
Okay, thank you.
Inspiration for some, I suspect. Helen in New South Wales, you're part of a group as well.
Yes, I'm part of the Waverton Hub group. Mm. And we're for residents of Waverton, Wollstonecraft and neighbourhood suburbs. And we're setting up a one-stop network for practical assistance and social and cultural and physical activities. So our plan is to have a hub office. You can ring and say, who's a preferred provider for gutter cleaning, which is a big issue, or handyman services, or I want to go out at night, but I need help with transport, need help with shopping. So it's all about connecting more to other residents and staying living in our own home.
So that's the focus, enabling that to happen by building a community of like minds who are have similar needs.
Yes, one of our members of our establishment group actually went to Beacon Hill in the US, where they do this quite a bit. Since then we've actually done a survey and we've had 230 respondees.
Wow.
Half of whom have offered to help out in the hub office and setting it up. But, 126 have ticked, wanting a regular walking group. They want book clubs, current affairs, you know, we covered physical, social, lifelong learning and services you need to stay put.
Helen, thank you very much for that. So that's another proactive group, I think, in New South Wales there, really trying to get a handle on what's needed to help people stay in their own homes. Gary in New South Wales also, hello there, you're in your 70s.
I am, only just into my 70s.
Only just.
Yes, and I've been an owner, well, I designed my house and had it built, so I've got a big interest in it, and our four children grew up in the house, and now with 11 children, they come here, it's a stable environment, they know the area, you know, it's a 1,300 square metre block of land, and I'm not far from North Parramatta, and I've got a big trampoline in the backyard, and I've got a covered entertainment area outside that we can all sort of get together in, and we had our daughter's 40th birthday here with 46 adults and 44 children, so we accommodated them here. And so this is like my castle, and I don't have a wife with me anymore.
Because she's actually gone into a dementia facility, but you've got a good setup there.
It is, and I'm a caravaner. I've got a caravan in the caravan port and a car in the garage, and I think while ever I am capable of staying here, I want to stay here, and I'm not far from doctors, and sometimes one of our family that's up Gosford area, they have an Angelman child. You may not know what that is, but she has Angelman syndrome, which means she'll never talk and she'll always be in nappies. She's 15. Sometimes she has to go to the children's hospital. That the mum and that child stay here overnight.
With you.
And that's okay. My situation. So and doctors aren't far away from my area, so I'm very happy to stay here as long as I can.
As long as you can. Gary, thank you very much for that. And I think you're not alone there. I just want to read a comment on our Facebook page. From Anne, my husband's nan has just passed away at 89 after a sad year of physical decline in two different nursing homes. My first suggestion, these places need places where kids can play and the oldies can interact with them or just sit and watch them play. My two young kids hated going to see these nursing homes, but the great-grandkids were the visitors that Nana most wanted to see. And we've also had quite a few comments about one with small children and animals involved, one where people can live the way they want, including alcohol and cigarettes, if that's what they want, and the issue of gardening and pets and kids and having places that accommodate all those things that have enriched people's lives in place is coming up a lot on our Facebook page. Let me take Pamela in Queensland's call. Hello there.
Hello.
Now, you're 76, you live on 5 acres.
That's correct, yes. And I want to stay here as long as I possibly can, in spite of the fact that it's sometimes difficult to keep the place going as I would like, you know, the garden and so on, because I have animals and I couldn't bear to leave them. So I want to stay here and look after them.
And how does your family feel about that? That's often the tension, isn't it?
I don't have a family.
Right, so it's your decision to make.
That's right, yes.
And what about the sort of support that you might need? Is that something that you've given some thought to?
Well, I have. I've got a number of illnesses. Mm. But at the moment, one of the reasons I want to stay here, because it's close to transport, close to doctor and shopping centres. So it's the ideal place for somebody who has animals that doesn't want to move and until they pass on.
Staying for the animals, it's a big responsibility for one person.
Well, it is, but it's I love it.
Yeah.
And I'm very active. I teach one day a week and things like that. But nevertheless, it is a responsibility, as I've just been out doing the weeding and thought, oh, golly, these weeds are growing so quickly while I look at them. And the lawn, which I normally mow myself as well.
Well, it's all that activity, though, that keeps us well for many years, doesn't it?
Yes, it is.
Pamela, good luck, and say hello to the pigs and donkeys for me.
Thank you.
Cheers. Thanks. Lenita in Melbourne, your mum and dad are in a nursing home. Some challenges there, hey?
No. I started a 5-year plan. We finished that 5-year plan at the end of last year, so I've started another one. Dad's passed on.
Okay.
So I've had a good look at the nursing home situation.
We've got a bit confused. Sorry. Is it Lenita in Melbourne?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. Look, I think the information was a bit cross-wired there.
No, I'm getting to that.
Yeah.
Now, after having a look, my mother is now... I bought a house opposite a nursing home. My mother is over there. I'm her carer. Now, for me, for my turn, I would like a place that I can go to where people are like-minded and interested in the arts. I've always painted. I've always been involved in all sorts of artistic things. So I would like to be somewhere where other people are interested in classical music and operas, theatre, you know, the movies, still painting, still doing whatever arts, craft interests that other people have. And learning.
Yeah, it makes sense, doesn't it? Why do we switch all that off?
They need it because I go and visit Mum and they're on the doze button.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Lenita, thank you very much for that. That's a vision I think I share, as does Trish on our Facebook page. Our local paper had a request for an old Holden for aged residents in a home to tinker with. What a brilliant idea. Also gardens for residents to manage, including growing veggies, knitting clubs, sewing groups, poker, dancing. I think the main thing is letting residents to decide what they want and allow them to manage the process as an organisation as much as possible. Quickly to Rachel in Queensland and then back to my guests. Rachel, hello.
Oh, good morning. How are you?
Very well. Now, yes. You're thinking about home modifications.
Yes, I think the whole idea about planning ahead, well in advance, home modifications, I couldn't stress that more.
Mm.
If people think ahead, don't live in a home with stairs, or if you are, if you've got an upstairs floor, you just won't be able to use it after a while. But if you want to remain in home, which is the trend, I really think just plan ahead. Make sure that you live on one level. If you need to have ramps, if there are small stairs going into the house at all or any access routes to the house, there have to be ramps in advance. These things can be done once a person does lose capacity to manoeuvre and manage stairs. But if these things can be done in advance, you're well ahead of the game, you know, in preparing for those times when you do become a little infirm. Shower stalls that can have a chair put inside, so have, if it's a shower over a bath, have it modified to a walk-in shower where you can be showered if you do need services to come to the home to help you shower. You've got a big enough shower where someone can help you shower.
Mm.
All those sort of home modification, really practical things.
Yeah.
And, that can really help you remain at home and,
absolutely.
And stay at home and access, obviously, to services. But, yeah.
Thanks, Rachel. This is a fantastic call, and there are plenty of services in local communities that can help around those issues too, and it comes right down to things like kitchen utensils that you can use with arthritis and, you know, that kind of thing. There's some great tools to enable that. Let's come back to my guests. Some great calls there. Jeff, there is the full spectrum. But if someone's on a government pension after retirement, for example, they might not be able to do some of the creative investment in property development that some of those callers were alluding to.
Yes, I think that's right. The thing that strikes me about a lot of the comments that were made there is just the range of options that people are seeking, and I think that's going to be important for policymakers around the provision of housing, provision of healthcare, urban planning and so on. And seeking out different arrangements that might see people through until they might really need some intensive care later in life.
There will be 6 million people in Australia over 65 by 2031, according to all predictions. Jeff, what should the government priorities be here? Because the government struggles enough with what is a very clear housing availability crisis right now.
Yes, that's quite true. Issues of available housing affordability, obviously key, and with the demands of an ageing population, I think that there's a lot for government service providers to be thinking about in terms of housing provision, housing support, and all those healthcare services and other service arrangements which might enable people to remain in their homes.
Could we be thinking more creatively about this? I mean, thinking about some of those calls and the sorts of desires that people have, you know, environments where you can garden, where you can do some art, where you're not sort of sitting in a row in a nursing home.
Yes, well, certainly from your callers that that called in this morning, just the range of the types of things that they're looking for, the modifications to the homes, groups getting together to build their own properties with like-minded other tenants. It would seem that there's a lot for governments to sort of think about in how they might support the community in taking up those options.
Yeah, I'll say. Yo, Liska, you've been listening to these. Lots of resonance with your plan, hey?
Yeah, but, I mean, I picked up on one caller's comment, and that's that sort of idea of multi-generations, and that's really one key with our idea, that it's not really an eco-village just for older people, but for a range of people, because I think a key thing as you get older is that you continue to interact with the younger generation, and it's good both for the younger generation and the older people. So that's sort of a key thing that we want to make sure is happening in our village, that there's a range of ages there as well, so you have that cross-generational interaction.
It's vital, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Look, good luck with the DA proposal.
Thank you.
I hope it gets through. When will you know, do you think?
We still need a huge number of reports and things you have to get ready before you can submit it. We've got one more to go. So we hope within a month or two.
And then we're all coming to stay, you know.
Please. Come and visit.
The nation's retirees, we're all going to land on your doorstep in the next 50 years. Look, I'd really love to thank you both for joining us and some rich calls there. Yoliska Lips, thank you.
Thank you, Natasha.
Is building a small village in Rylstone, New South Wales. Well, hoping to, if the DA gets approved. And Jeff Nidek from the Australian Institute of Health and Welfare, thanks for putting some data on this story for us.
That's fine. Thanks, Natasha.